Rather cruelly used and rather reserved. By Exlos. Read by X-Manhater. Summary. In the month between Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian leaving Yi City and their attending the cultivation conference in Lanling, Wei Wuxian discovers a locked room in the Jingshi. It is a mystery that clever and curious Wei Wuxian is doing everything in his power to avoid solving. Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian were waiting in cloud recesses, because at present, waiting was all they could do. When they'd met with Sewu Jun after leaving Yi City, the sect leader had suggested that they all form part of the Lan delegation to the cultivation conference in Lanling the following month. This would provide them with the perfect opportunity to travel to Koi Tower, take an unobtrusive look around, and discover evidence relating to Nie Mingjue's apparent murder, if there was any to be found. All things considered, a month was a brief delay. Wei Wuxian might very well have been called back to life several months before such a fine excuse presented itself. And if it came to that, Wei Wuxian had spent the last 16 years dead. Comparatively, a few weeks were just so much loose change. Yet the delay did rather bring Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian's investigative momentum to a crashing halt. There were no other clear leads to follow up. Back at the Jingshi once more, Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji discussed Jing Guangyao, what he might have done and why and how. The small piece of vileness that was his asking Lan Wangji, who Wei Wuxian had trusted above all others, to write the invitation that had doomed Jin Zixuan, and with him Wei Wuxian and the Wen remnants. Wei Wuxian assured Lan Wangji that he didn't blame him for his part in the affair, not at all. Lan Wangji had only silently shaken his head. Wei Wuxian remembered Lan Wangji's drunken confession that he had his regrets. Having been used as an instrument to hasten the death of a close friend and innocent people, of course Lan Wangji, who strove so hard to act righteously, would be grievously offended. Had it been a pure accident, such a thing would have been terrible enough. But Lan Wangji's having been a tool, Jin Guangyao's dupe. Wei Wuxian clenched his teeth in anger at the thought of someone using him against Lan Chan like that. Anyone who had understood them well enough to write Wei Wuxian's death sentence in Lan Wangji's hand must have known how such a thing would haunt Lan Wangji. Must have intended this to wound, and thence to fester. Wei Wuxian had never been very patient about being disturbed in the full flow of work and was initially irritated by and restless with this interruption of their project. But when the adrenaline drained from him, he had to admit that he welcomed this period of respite, of reacclimation to the world. He was only partly in hiding from it now. He still wore a mask outside the Jingshi, but made no greater effort to conceal himself. Most of the people living in cloud recesses today hadn't known Wei Wuxian by sight, and Lan Wangji and Sewu Jun, who had known him best, were already well aware of his identity. What he could not appreciate about this respite was the attendant unwelcome time to think. Wei Wuxian wanted to do anything but remember his lost family, and the strange, death-distant yet still raw grief that lay at the periphery of his mind. His poor sect uncle, who he'd so admired in their short acquaintance, driven to such an end as that. His Ayuan, who'd be of an age with Lan Wangji's bright young disciples had he lived. Shijie and Tingjie, ripped from the world. Jiangcheng, bitter and changed. Wen Ning, abused and alone, his gentle nature violated by the very people responsible for the slaughter of their small clan. Wei Wuxian spoke with Wen Ning and Kai Yi. He could hardly hide the ghost general in the cloud recesses for a month. Of all the lost, Wen Ning at least was... No, he wasn't fine. How could he be anything like fine after all the Jin had done to him? But he was as alive as he could be, and he was still on speaking terms with Wei Wuxian, and Wei Wuxian was desperately grateful for both. Wei Wuxian knew it was fruitless to dwell on these feelings, because doing so would change nothing. It was just as fruitless to meditate action, because ultimately, he and Lan Wangji couldn't answer their own looming questions without further information. So Wei Wuxian was left staring down a month, more time on his hands at his leisure than he'd had since. Actually, he couldn't remember ever having possessed such a span of unclaimed days. And really, who better to pass time with than Lan Wangji? It was shockingly easy to share space with him, yet he'd long known that he cherished Lan Wangji's company and that when they met, be it on battlefields or at cultivation conferences or in tea houses, they flowed together as though they'd never parted. Even in their earliest days, it had been curiously pleasant to work beside Lan Wangji. Certainly copying rules had been exasperating, and obviously he'd pestered Lan Wangji a great deal for the fun of the thing. But there had also been relaxing hours in which Wei Wuxian had gotten into the rhythm of the rote work and simply watched Lan Wangji execute his lovely calligraphy, looking elegant as anything. He'd been so focused and composed that simply being with him had given Wei Wuxian some share of that rare quality. As adults, Wei Wuxian still felt compelled to pester Lan Wangji for attention. He tread more softly now, with the greater care that long spans without Lan Wangji in his life had refined in him. Time had shaped his initial fascination into something deeper. He'd learned to appreciate Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji seemed happier to give him the attention he sought, too, startlingly unbothered by Wei Wuxian's natural motion, noise, and mess. A sharp-edged boy had developed into a deeply calm man. No, not calm, precisely, for Lan Wangji felt deeply, and he lacked his brother's perpetual veneer. Respect and like Seibu Jun as Wei Wuxian did, Wei Wuxian had always found his smooth tranquility less trustworthy and less appealing than Lan Wangji's close-held and controlled but earnest, potent emotion. So, calm was wrong. It was more that Lan Wangji had come into himself. He occupied his body and his emotions so fully and unashamedly now. He'd grown even more skilled, even more impressive. Wei Wuxian knew he'd no right to such pride, but he took it in Lan Wangji nonetheless. He couldn't stop looking at him, admiring him. Lan Wangji gave him plenty of opportunities to do so. He made a flattering amount of time to keep his guest company, and was, in general, supremely accommodating. He produced an almost parodically beautiful stand for Wei Wuxian's rough bamboo disaster of Aditsa, which Wei Wuxian supposed he must have borrowed from Lan Xichen. Wei Wuxian made a joke about his plane being far too rusty and utilitarian to merit such an elegant accessory, not to mention the crudity of the instrument. It was no Chen Ting, that was certain. Lan Wangji had frowned and said that Wei Wuxian was as easily talented in this as he was in most things, but admitted that even the most experienced musicians benefited from regular practice. Wei Wuxian should join him in his. When Wei Wuxian protested that he'd only hold Lan Wangji back, Lan Wangji had completely ignored him and instead asked Wei Wuxian whether he'd like to work on non-spiritual music or learn proprietary Lan songs. Wei Wuxian hadn't been able to wipe the greedy expression at the offer off his face. He'd retro-engineered Lan musical cultivation to give a scaffolding to demonic cultivation, but he'd never had the opportunity to formally study the real thing. Lan Wangji observed his reaction with satisfaction and declared the matter settled. Ought they to invite his own protege, Lan Sejui, then? Would Wei Wuxian feel comfortable practicing before him? A handsome go set appeared in the bedroom one morning. No sooner did Wei Wuxian see it than he began fiddling with the smooth black stones, wheedling Lan Wangji into playing with him. Lan Wangji's expression softened, and he obediently knelt on the other side of the board in a graceful fall of house robes, taking up one of the set of white stones that seemed predestined for him. He played quickly and carefully, devoting his whole attention to besting Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji was at first mildly annoyed by how frequently Wei Wuxian won, as though he wasn't used to losing. But it was Wei Wuxian's turn to grow indignant when Lan Wangji learned his favorite tricks and began to gain the upper hand in almost as many of their matches as he lost. He pouted and whined at Lan Wangji's hints of smugness, but then grinned and laughed to feed off easily, complimenting his opponent. It was worth waking up before noon to see Lan Wangji in such light as Gusu offered in the morning, frowning minutely in concentration, his unbound hair sloping elegantly over his shoulder as he inclined his head towards the board he studied. The painterly quality of the scene made Wei Wuxian's hand itch for a brush. Just to dash off a sketch of him like this, jet hair, jade-pale face, coral mouth parted just slightly. Lan Wangji was, objectively, beautiful. Everyone said it, and not everyone had been privileged to see him like this, close and soft and warm as his hidden heart. If only I'd ink, Wei Wuxian mused idly after a close round, airing a sigh. In the burial mounds, he'd grown used to keeping expensive supplies such as ink for work alone, a doodle at the margins of his notes if he really couldn't help himself and was stuck on a thought. He'd relied on charcoal more than anything. During the war, he'd relearned the street trick of treating wishes as fantasies, pleasant in themselves. What would it be like to have a meat bun? what would it be like to feel really warm or full? In his second period of residence in the burial mounds, the trick kept him from feeling bitter about not having access to Jiang's resources. Such bitterness would have done no good to anyone. He'd made his choices and still thought them right. Things were what they were. Lan Wangji rose and Wei Wuxian blinked after him, curious. He expected to perhaps be presented with some writing ink from Lan Wangji's desk, and supposed he should have guessed that Lan Wangji would simply fetch a thing rather than offer up an amenity for an unexpected demurral. But Lan Wangji left the room entirely. He returned with a bound book of fine paper, brushes, and a box, which he offered to Wei Wuxian. "What's all this?" Wei Wuxian asked, flicking open the lacquered box to discover beautiful wrapped ink cakes, the paper of each promising a rich, deep, matching color. "What a fine set!" Wei Wuxian thumbed the book. "Is this that good Qinghe paper Nie Huaisang engraved about?"
From Cheyun Hall."
Lan Wangji resumed his seat on the floor. Wei Wuxian laughed. "Thin as a cicada's wing, fine as jade, wasn't it? What an aesthete. Remember how angry he was when I spoiled his lantern, that qixi we all spent together? It was an accident, but he sulked like I'd set out to choke one of his birds."
"I should not have threatened you,"
Lan Wangji said. Wei Wuxian asked, inspecting the brushes.
"That was why you tripped over Nie Huaisong's lantern in the first place,"
Lan Wangji reminded him. "Was it?" Wei Wuxian said, pretending, as he often did, not to remember trivial pieces of rudeness directed at him, or evidence of the foibles of those close to him.
"Wei Ying."
Wei Wuxian waved one hand dismissively, tisking and shaking his head. "Honestly, to think I called myself first disciple of Jiang when I was as clumsy as that. But this is all brand new, Lan Chan. Did you buy it to give it as a gift? Don't you have some old scrap paper I could use?"
"I am giving it to you,"
Lan Wangji observed as he set the board to rights. "If you don't have anything already open, I don't need to sketch. It's nothing so important." He reached for the teapot to pour them both another round, but Lan Wangji arrested him by placing a palm over Wei Wuxian's cup.
"Would Wei Ying prefer a cracked cup for his tea?"
Lan Wangji raised one eyebrow at him.
"Shall I find Wei Ying some more threadbare robes?"
"Lan Chan?"
"Wei Ying?"
"I'm only saying..." Lan Wangji's entire expression was a dare for him to complete that thought. "Thank you for these lovely ink cakes," Wei Wuxian finished with a smile.
"Wei Ying is always welcome."
Wei Wuxian rolled his eyes. "And no thanks for bullying me."
"Wei Ying is welcome for that also."
Wei Wuxian gawped at him. "Mocking your poor, indigent old schoolmate as well. You learned such cheek while I was away, honestly." A bit afraid of spoiling it, Wei Wuxian took the luscious green pigment he'd ever handled in his life to Lan Wangji's inkstone, sighing with pleasure when the ink came out smooth and almost glistening, with no hint of insectile iridescence. That was lovely in a different way, but not suited to what he wanted to do now. He started to trace the stately tree-laden line of the massive hills visible behind the Jingshu. "What do you think they used for this?" Wei Wuxian wondered.
"Moss," Lan Wangji guessed. "I did not purchase it directly from the craftsman. We can test it if that is important."
Dead insects and dead plant life had different magical resonances, and if Wei Wuxian were drafting talismans, it might prove useful to know. He shook his head. "Just thinking aloud, really. Didn't mean to bother you." He glanced up at Lan Wangji, who was regarding him with a trace of wistfulness. "What?" Wei Wuxian asked, blinking at him.
"I have missed your bothering me."
Wei Wuxian sputtered, taken aback by the compliment. "Don't say that! A drop of encouragement and I'll never stop."
"Good,"
Lan Wangji said simply, taking the stone and grinding a little more ink for him. "I mean it," Wei Wuxian threatened. "You'll have no peace from my noise."
"I much prefer your noise to your silence."
He looked directly at Wei Wuxian when he spoke, as if that kind of sincere fondness was bearable, or something Wei Wuxian could rightly claim. "Lan Chan, who is shameless now?"
"Still you,"
Lan Wangji said, setting the stone down before Wei Wuxian and turning back to his tea.
Lan Wangji fetched them lunch one afternoon and returned to find Wei Wuxian browsing his books. He set the tray down and a few minutes later returned with a collection of codices, bound up with string. He held them by the bow and deposited the bundle in Wei Wuxian's hands. Wei Wuxian looked at him, curious.
These are new?
Lan Wangji nodded. He must have bought them recently and not yet had a chance to properly shelve or read them. Wei Wuxian looked them over, surprised and pleased to discover almost all of them looked particularly interesting to him. There was a mix of genres, including some titles he thought might well have been printed after his death. At least they hadn't been in wide circulation when he'd last poked around booksellers in Yiling, browsing where he could not buy, to the clear annoyance of the shopkeepers.
"Shall we read one together until Sizhui comes?" Lan Wangji asked, and Wei Wuxian nodded eagerly.
"Which would you like?"
"You choose," Lan Wangji said, and so he read aloud from a poetry collection, while Wei Wuxian busied himself with the rote work of copying out some of the more complex ornamental talismans, which Lan kept in stock for public distribution. A few score house protection and safe journey. His hands knew the work well. It left him free to concentrate on both the words and Lan Wangji's voice, rising and falling with the thick cream susurration of his Gusu accent, while Wei Wuxian traced cinnabar characters onto yellow slips of mulberry fiber paper.
"You read so beautifully, Lan Chan,"
he said when Lan Wangji paused between poems. People who didn't know Lan Wangji as Wei Wuxian did would have supposed him ill-suited to the glints of humor or longing in such pieces, but he was dry or compassionate as the piece demanded, and his measured voice was well-suited to the poet's careful choice of words.
"Is this one recent?"
Lan Wangji shook his head. "Almost a decade old now."
Wei Wuxian recognized the poet as a living one Lan Wangji had followed even when they were at school, and wondered why Lan Wangji hadn't made time for the latest offering of a favorite of his before now. The precise, deep romanticism of much of her work was just so Lan Chan. He must have been truly occupied going where the chaos was and raising Sishui. Perhaps this enforced break was good for him, too, giving one of the hardest-working men Wei Wuxian had ever met an occasion for well-earned rest. Wei Wuxian liked to think so. It made him feel more purposeful and less guilty about lazing around, for one. The only time Wei Wuxian had ever been truly idle in his life was at his lowest, struggling to reconcile his role at Jiang Cheng's side with the secret of his weak, coreless body and the lasting stress of his awful memories of the war. Wei Wuxian associated stillness with ingratitude and self-loathing, with the terrible consequences of his life's failures to act well enough, quickly enough. Except when Lan Wangji arrested him with the grave quietude of his presence, which stilled even his worries, silence inevitably led Wei Wuxian to painful and purposeful thought. It was difficult for Wei Wuxian to consider himself too deeply. His mind skittered off the surface of such questions. He found them embarrassing or pointless or ridiculously self-indulgent. At times, being asked to consider himself seriously in that way almost made him angry, and then he was forced to do the additional work of papering over whatever damage he'd done by snapping at whoever had started the whole thing. For all his capacity for sharpness, it made Wei Wuxian uneasy if people didn't like him. It made him feel unsafe. Lan Sishui arrived for Gutin practice, and Wei Wuxian blinked at him, surprised.
"Already so late,"
he remarked, standing and stretching.
"Will you take those to the dispensary when you return to the dormitory?" Lan Wangji asked, nodding at Wei Wuxian's finished talismans.
"Of course,"
Sishui said, fetching a talisman box out of his Tiankun bag, taking out the handful of personal talismans he already had in it and tying them together with two strings from his father's desk, so they didn't get mixed up with Wei Wuxian's. He looked at the work as he shook the papers he picked up into order.
"Senior Mo, these are lovely," Sishui said. "I always had a knack for them," Wei Wuxian said with an awkward laugh. "Though Hung Wan Jun's calligraphy is far superior. A bright boy like you can surely tell that." "The mandalas, though. Oh, are these yours too? Can I look?"
Lan Sishui took the open sketchbook off the desk at a go-on gesture from Wei Wuxian, who didn't think there was anything particularly incriminating in it.
"You and Jing Yi should keep one each of these talismans," Lan Wangji commented, sitting down at his guttine. "They are exemplary references for permanent domestic casting, which you have not yet learned."
"Yes, father,"
Sishui agreed absently, engrossed by the several pages,
economically dense with sketches that Wei Wuxian had already filled.
I can tell which rabbits these all are, he said with delight. You've really caught their personalities.
They were very evident,
Wei Wuxian said.
When she ran out of leaves, Water Chestnut just bit me. Not a second's pause. I barely survived.
Now that you say it, she is shaped like a water chestnut,
Sishui laughed.
I had to call her something. Lan Chan, why haven't you named them all properly?
Wei Wuxian huffed.
There are a lot of rabbits on the back hill, Sishui defended his father.
Don't cover for him.
Wei Wuxian smacked Lan Sishui's arm with his flute, which he'd picked up for practice.
Lan Chan's a big boy.
I restrained myself to afford you the pleasure of doing so, Lan Wangji responded smoothly.
Just for that, I will name each and every one, Wei Wuxian threatened. The lazy Tan Doe is boring now. The over-amorous black buck with the fuzzy feet is shameless.
Save your strength, Lan Wangji advised. Finish learning the fingering on the next batch of inquiry questions with Sishui before bestowing insulting names on all 100 rabbits.
You are only giving me more time to think,
Wei Wuxian told him as Sishui obediently sat.
Will that help you? Lan Wangji asked politely. You will call them whatever you like, regardless.
It was a cheap joke at Suibian's expense from a man who could certainly afford a better one. With Sishui here, Wei Wuxian couldn't even properly tell Lan Wangji that he saw what he was doing and it wasn't cute. Wei Wuxian blew an absolutely rude noise on his ditsa to show Lan Wangji what he thought of him.
Diligent practice reaps rewards, Lan Wangji complimented him. You seem to be improving.
Wei Wuxian gave him a filthy look in response. Sishui laughed into his sleeve, looking shocked that his Hung Guan Jun would tease any friend. Lan Xichen arrived when they'd almost finished the pretty, tricky, secular song Sishui had wanted to end with. Si Wu Jun waited for the three of them, and Wei Wuxian noted that his expression lacked some of its usual hard lacquer charm. He looked more private and open, and truly pleased than he often did in public.
I invited Xiong Xiong for dinner as well, Lan Wangji said to Wei Wuxian when they'd finished as he stood to greet his brother.
What, so you can share the silence? Wei Wuxian asked.
No meal taken with you has ever been silent, Lan Wangji observed,
and Wei Wuxian turned to Lan Xichen, whose smile was more amused than polite.
Everyone thinks he's the quintessence of elegance, but it's all a sham. Was he always ill-mannered? As an infant, did he kick his nurses and refuse to submit to naps?
He did hate naps,
Lan Xichen confessed. But he was never pert until after he joined the guest disciple's lectures. I've long suspected he studied the art with a foreign master. Wei Wuxian put a hand to his heart.
I expect that venerable Gugu would be proud of his pupil's progress, even if Hung Guan Jun were such an ingrate as to turn his blade against his Shifu.
Se Wu Jun opened his mouth to comment, but there was a knock at the door, and two very young disciples brought in trays of food. When they'd gone, Lan Wangji poured out baijiu for Wei Wuxian to have with his dinner, making no effort to hide it whatsoever. Sijui's eyes widened, and Wei Wuxian laughed awkwardly, but no one mentioned it. They ate dinner in decorous Lan silence. Wei Wuxian sent Lan Wangji periodic challenging looks as if to say, "See, I can so be silent if I choose to." When they finished, he gave Lan Wangji an overly formal bow as a flourish.
I do it every day, Lan Wangji observed with one of his minute smiles. As do Lan children. It is not a particularly remarkable accomplishment.
I have proved my point,
Wei Wuxian said airily, taking a swig of his baijiu.
And you won't diminish my victory. It's very low of you to try.
Tea?
Sishui asked with a trace of a laugh. And at Xichen's thanks, he made to prepare it. While he did so, Lan Xichen spoke of a persistent hanged ghost a batch of Lan cultivators had lost the trail of to the north, near the Qinghe border. Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian listened with careful interest, and Wei Wuxian expressed surprise that the spirit had proven so resistant to array traps, even over a period of days. Lan Wangji made a noise of agreement.
Could it be leaving its hunting grounds between feedings and returning via the sea? Wei Wuxian asked.
That'd certainly be unusual, Lan Xichen said with a frown.
Unusual, but not necessarily impossible, Lan Wangji said. But how could a simple hanged ghost have the strength to cross running water? Lan Xichen objected.
Putting aside the question of how, for the moment, could the next party throw an array over that part of the sea?
Wei Wuxian asked.
Not a long-term trap array, Lan Xichen shook his head. We can hardly anchor a whole flotilla of boats and leave them there for weeks, manned or unmanned.
No, Wei Wuxian agreed. No, you couldn't.
He snapped his fingers.
Anchored buoys with symbols painted on them. Tar? Tar could stick, and the circle,
Hire a diver to bury a chain to set a perimeter, Lan Wangji added. The array element's difference of depth is no object if water connects them.
Brilliant, Wei Wuxian enthused,
squeezing Lan Wangji's arm for a moment in his enthusiasm.
If it's near the shore, it can't be too deep for one of the good pearl divers.
It's clever, Lan Xichen admitted, but we still don't know the ocean is the vector of entry. That's so unlikely. But we could eliminate the possibility, Lan Wangji observed.
For very little cost and trouble, even if we're wrong, Wei Wuxian pointed out, and Lan Xichen nodded, taking his point.
Wei Wuxian observed that Lan Xichen did not seem deeply oppressed in his spirits by the possibility of Jin Guangyao's betrayal. It seemed more likely that Lan Xichen still couldn't believe such a thing might be possible than that he wouldn't care deeply if it were. Pushing aside his own sharp, murky feelings about whether Jin Guangyao's culpability would exonerate him, and whether he would even value the cultivation world's forgiveness now, Wei Wuxian almost wanted Lan Xichen to be right. It would only be fair. Xichen had honorably extended his trust to his friend, and it would be good for him not to have been used, as Wei Wuxian feared Lan Wangji had been. Sishui sat down with the tea tray, pouring for his elders in their order of seniority.
"Is this pot new, father?"
he asked, admiring the oxblood glaze.
"I don't think I've seen it out before. It's not your usual style."
That was true enough. Lan Wangji's other implements were all of Celadon Rueware. "I bought it some years ago in Outer Tishan," Lan Wangji said.
"It's very fine," Wei Wuxian said. "I love the color. But then you always have excellent taste, Lan Chan, and such an eye for beauty."
He said it smilingly, but quite matter-of-factly. Lan Wangji, who had been looking at Wei Wuxian with his customary attentive focus, wordlessly turned his attention to the tea. Lan Xichen cleared his throat and asked Sishui how his studies were progressing. It was lovely to have Sishui and Lan Xichen here, even though the conversation was slightly stilted because everyone in the room but Lan Sishui knew perfectly well who Wei Wuxian was, and Sishui was too polite to simply ask how people so evidently familiar with one another had come to be. Wei Wuxian already felt very fond of Azizi's caring, talented protege, who'd been faultlessly kind to him even when he'd thought him an interfering madman. Lan Xichen wasn't his brother, but Wei Wuxian had always considered him a friend in his own right, and he knew how much they both cared about Lan Wangji. What a gift it was to eat without any pressing worries as to where one's next meal would come from. It had surprised Wei Wuxian, weeks ago now, to learn that Lan Wangji tended to cook a great deal of the food they ate in the evenings himself. Wei Wuxian might have preferred Yunmeng cuisine in theory, but food of Lan Wangji's making was a far cry from the wholly flavorless disciple dormitory fare that haunted his memory. Wei Wuxian appreciated anything well executed, which this certainly was. It was so considerate of Lan Wangji. He excelled in everything. He never failed to present Wei Wuxian with good chili oil alongside the meal, either. Wei Wuxian had been far less surprised to learn that Sishui was Lan Wangji's adopted son. Lan Xichen had been particular to mention it, but actually, Wei Wuxian had assumed as much. Lan Wangji was supremely beautiful and talented, but while Wei Wuxian had once teased him about liking Mian Mian, he'd never really thought Lan Wangji would marry. It would have truly surprised and even upset him to discover anything to contradict that assumption had occurred in his absence. He didn't exactly know why. The idea was unpleasant, and he avoided considering it. Lan Chan would never do that to him, so it wasn't worth thinking of.
"I've never seen you wearing anything but white," Sishui observed to his father as he donned his shoes, preparing to walk back to the dormitory.
Lan Wangji was dressed in an elegant blue robe.
It was just the sort of thing Wei Wuxian had become accustomed to seeing him in after they'd been freed from their disciple whites.
Sishui was probably just teasing his father about the generally funereal bent to his wardrobe. Yet it struck Wei Wuxian as slightly odd that Lan Wangji responded only with, That was his positive acknowledgement, Though Wei Wuxian had no idea when he'd managed to do it, Lan Wangji had evidently gone overboard buying clothes for Wei Wuxian. He'd woken up in the Jingxia after the meeting at Devon Mountain, and when he'd gone to dress after his bath, he'd found a whole array of robes, bracers, a few hair ribbons, everything he might need, waiting out for him. And just the sort of thing he'd have purchased himself. No, to be honest, it was all of much better make than he'd ever been able to afford. At Jiang's height, Wei Wuxian had been a youth with limited discretionary income. Wei Wuxian had always combined his fondness for good drink and food with a brutal, pragmatic circumspection regarding what he could do without. He'd felt easiest in using anything when it had been Jiang common property. Workaday grade ink and talisman paper from the supply room. Food from the kitchens, standard bracers from the armory, without a trace of the inner clan colors it would have annoyed Madame Yu to see him in. He'd been grateful for such things, and more careful with them than people who knew of his carelessness with himself might have supposed. After all, he knew many people had less, and knew it from experience. He'd made his appearance distinct and recognizable simply by virtue of wearing largely neutral training blacks, interrupted by flashes of his own favorite color. Even when Wei Wuxian had been senior disciple under Jiang Cheng, he'd had more of an allowance than a salary of his own. His money had been the clan's, and thus it had been Jiang Cheng's. He'd been accountable for every purchase, and Jiang Cheng, short-tempered from the new responsibilities sitting heavy on him, had liked to grouse. Perhaps, having been so abundantly generous to his old friend, Lan Wangji must have nearly bought out a merchant when they traveled through Kai Yi, while he himself was still unconscious. Lan Wangji had felt inclined to spoil himself a little. Wei Wuxian liked the thought of it, of Lan Wangji taking care of himself like that. Of him selecting fine things he appreciated that would flatter him. The gods had done an outstanding job in making Lan Wangji, and it would be a shame for Lan Wangji not to show off their hard work a little. Still, when they were both alone again, their guests gone, Wei Wuxian thought about the blue robes and the teapot Sishui had never seen before. Many of the things Lan Wangji had given to him to use over the past weeks had looked strangely unworn for a man as minimalist in his inclinations as Lan Wangji to have lying around the house. They'd looked like presents. Perhaps Lan Wangji received many such gifts from minor sects he assisted. It'd be rude to refuse them, if so. Wei Wuxian supposed Lan Wangji kept them here against a day he might require them. That would be like him. Wei Wuxian flattered himself that if anyone could charm Lan Wangji into giving an account of the last 16 years of his life, it was him. He was perhaps the world's foremost expert in badgering the second jade, after all. The trick lay in asking questions Lan Wangji felt merited detailed answers. It wasn't even worth asking Lan Wangji for a rundown of his own great feats of the last decade. He'd speak at length, however, and with great care, if asked to summarize the details of the last decade's advances in cultivation practice, or every popular touring play and story Wei Wuxian had missed, and what had been particularly fine in them. Wei Wuxian had only to ask about Sijui's performance at the competitions that attended cultivation conferences for Lan Wangji to tell him whole stories about how the day had gone. To Wei Wuxian's surprise, he could also give a good account of Xin Ling's performance and actually volunteered the information. Of course, he wanted to know how Shixia's son had fared, but it was unusual for Lan Wangji to attend so carefully to something so comparatively light, if the person concerned was not close to him personally. Wei Wuxian commented on the spirit lure flags he'd seen the Lan disciples use at Mo Manor. Lan Wangji explained not just the afterlife of Wei Wuxian's own technical innovations, but also everything else he himself had done as an adult, under Xichen's auspices, to reshape the curriculum they'd shared as boys. They had a long, engaged discussion about training in a more general sense. It had been Wei Wuxian's favorite responsibility as Jiang's chief disciple, and he'd privately thought of it as the task he'd been best at, for all anyone complimented his hunting itself. When Wei Wuxian had invented the spirit lure during the Sunshot campaign, it had been a talisman. After the war, Jin cultivators had adapted his work to create the more durable, and thus cheaper and less energy-consuming, spirit lure flags. The conversion had not been seamless,
But Jin had addressed the problems by keeping disposable labor around to draw the summoned spirits off from their cultivators. Wen Ning had died, indirectly, as a result of Wei Wuxian's bastardized invention. After Wei Wuxian's death, Lan Wangji's amendments had made the Jin lures safe enough for practical use, even for the junior cultivators Wei Wuxian had seen relying on them at Mo Manor. Lan Wangji wasn't a talisman specialist, but he was an excellent researcher, and he had always been able to follow Wei Wuxian's line of thinking, apparently even in his absence. He pointed out that the character sequence Wei Wuxian had employed in his original spirit lure talismans made it impossible for the lure flags to pull in Yao Guai. This seemed difficult to remedy without compromising Lan Wangji's security refinements. Wei Wuxian suggested cheating, just make a discreet Yao Guai flag. It wasn't elegant, but it should work. Lan Wangji reminded him that, if placed too close together, the two attraction arrays might conflict and become unstable.
"Plant them further apart, then,"
Wei Wuxian groused, annoyed at being asked to clean up some mess Jin had made of his work.
"How many disciples to a hunt?"
Lan Wangji asked. Wei Wuxian understood what he was pointing out. Setting two distant arrays would require cultivators to split up their forces. This would involve either calling out a larger host than most towns could easily pay for the services of, put up at inns and offer medical care to, in case of emergencies, or it would lead to senior disciples assigning dangerously thin observation parties to one or both of the arrays. You could position more disciples on the array you thought most likely to be correct, of course, but then what if you guessed wrong? What if an entirely different threat answered your call? Even the best-case scenario would squander significant manpower.
"Well, fuck the Jin flags, then," Wei Wuxian said. "If you've looked at them and they aren't mendable, then they aren't, and it'd be easier to start from scratch. We can do better, surely."
It was a waste of time and talent for Lan Wangji to shore up the safety precautions on a bad medium translation. For a full week, they played with new ground-up iterations, in and around other things, passing drafts back and forward when an idea came to them. Wei Wuxian didn't think they had it exactly, not yet, but he thought they had something. He'd never had anyone to talk to about these things, in the way Lan Wangji would just listen to him and let him work something out loud. It saved him so much time to check in throughout the process with someone who thought about the way sects assigned work parties and the way cultivators moved on hunts. Wei Wuxian tended to think in terms of how a talisman would mechanically function. Lan Wangji had more experience night hunting while leading groups. His contention that the array should be visible, luminescent even, so that people who hadn't set it would still see it and thus would know not to stumble into it, was not only fair, it was the seed of what Wei Wuxian suspected would eventually crack the problem. Something about visibility, announcement, something around that anyway. Maybe sketching out a cloth talisman on paper was making it harder for Wei Wuxian to see what they needed to do. Maybe he should try chalking it on fabric to get a feel for the material. He told Lan Wangji as much, and Lan Wangji observed that they hadn't looked at cloth talisman pattern theory either, because none of the major sects specialized in that. Talismans were looked down on these days because they weren't obviously associated with cultivation methods that might eventually bring one immortality. When they were relied on at all, paper was the far more popular medium for them. But a century ago, the Shuai had done more inventive things with cloth, and Lan still had one of their pattern books. Shuai had presented the old inventory to Lan Yi before relations had broken down in hopes of selling Lan their wares. Secretiveness regarding proprietary techniques would have suppressed any description of the manufacture of these talismans, but the pattern of the runes thereupon should be legible in the illustrations. It was late enough that the library had closed for the day, but Lan Wangji gave Wei Wuxian an unimpressed look when he mentioned this, and departed the Jingxian nonetheless, leaving Wei Wuxian to scramble for Mo Xuan Yu's mask and head out after him. Lan Wangji cracked the lock on the library with an ease clearly born of experience. Even though, as an adult master of Lan, Wei Wuxian knew that Lan Wangji was probably allowed to do what he liked, he gave him the requisite hard time about his scandalous behavior, whispering about how the last time they'd been here, he'd never have dreamed that the discipline master himself would sneak out after Haixi, breaking and entering, no less. Lan Wangji still seemed to sleep at 9 most evenings, but he could now be easily persuaded to postpone his rest. They talked late into the night on several occasions. Wei Wuxian pushed for it sometimes, to enjoy the novelty of Lan Wangji's being just a little unruly,
for and with him, of being given the little gift of it.
"You must be tired," Wei Wuxian would murmur, staring across the room
at the jade planes of Lan Wangji's face in the blue-tinted evening shadows, at the low black river of his unbound hair, which sloped down from the bolster pillow onto the pale mattress. Lan Wangji's sleep-rough, petulant insistence that he was fine and could keep talking would sit in Wei Wuxian's stomach, low and heavy as a hit, and he'd feel a little guilty for liking it as much as he undeniably did, but never guilty enough to stop. After Lan Wangji admitted them, Wei Wuxian activated the library's candles with a slight push of spiritual energy from Mo Xuanyu's small but present core. It was so strange to draw on his own spiritual energy again. It didn't feel like a restoration of his body, because he couldn't even remember when his core had only been developed to this limited stage. His mother had begun the process in him when he'd been younger even than the great sects advised beginning one's training. Wei Wuxian had taken to it so naturally and had enjoyed such support from his parents that by the time he'd ended up on the streets, he'd been farther along than Mo Xuanyu was now, sufficiently skilled to keep himself warm and safe from disease. Like as not, he wouldn't have survived without that advantage, so he could only admire his mother's prudence in rushing the process. She'd been a street child herself once, and Wei Wuxian supposed she must have retained the associated wariness even as an adult. He knew he was still cautious and cagey in some things. They browsed the shelves, Wei Wuxian swinging his mask on his fingers by the string. When they found what they were looking for, Lan Wangji sat down with the catalog at the desk Wei Wuxian still thought of as specifically his. Rather than sitting where he himself once had, Wei Wuxian plopped down beside Lan Wangji so that they were close enough to share the book, leaning into him against the chill of the night air. He glanced up to find Lan Wangji, rendered more handsome even than usual by the gold glow of the otherwise pitch-dark room, looking at him with a peculiar attention. His mouth was slightly parted.
"What?"
Wei Wuxian murmured with a smile, a laugh in his voice. Lan Wangji looked as though he'd speak, but only said, "Nothing, Weiying," in a tone so low it was nearly a whisper. Wei Wuxian leaned across him to grab a brush with which to copy out any relevant patterns they found in the book. He ended up half-draped over Lan Wangji, who turned the pages when asked, and made some comments on aspects of the designs while Wei Wuxian worked.
"You used to be so particular about anyone touching you,"
Wei Wuxian said with a smirk.
"I still am," Lan Wangji admitted.
But when Wei Wuxian frowned and straightened up, away from him, feeling oddly hurt, Lan Wangji pulled him back with a hand at his wrist. To avoid messing the work, he'd grabbed the hand not holding the brush. This had required snaking his arm across Wei Wuxian's back.
"You are not anyone," Lan Wangji said, looking at the open pattern book in front of them, as though he was memorizing its particularly complex design for protective robes. Knowing him, he probably was.
Wei Wuxian settled back against Lan Wangji, feeling mollified, a little flustered with pleasure. This was what he'd wanted when they'd last been here, to be not just anyone to Lan Wangji, to be a particularly close friend and confidant to his talented, righteous, and accessible schoolmate, to be on this side of the room, this close. The next day, Lan Wangji asked him if he'd like to walk into Kaiyi. He said he would, and so they did. They met with Wen Ning, and after speaking with him, they pleasantly wasted an afternoon admiring local beauty spots and visiting tea rooms at the times when the best-regarded local storytellers performed. Wei Wuxian did not feel guilty for enjoying the sun on his skin and the perfume of tea while Shixia and Tingxia lay dead. He knew very well that they would have wanted this for him. The sisters he had found in this life had given everything for his survival and his happiness, as he'd tried to do for them. His grief for them took other, softer shapes. It was Ayuan, who he saw in every child in the market, who'd barely had a chance to live, and who Wei Wuxian regretted with a guilty potency that lay suppressed in him until it rose up, severe and sudden, thick enough to choke him. But grief had never done Wei Wuxian any good, and so he shoved it off. He'd died giving the one remnant's vengeance. Who had it helped? All he could do was be here, now. Lan Wangji said he owed a few night hunts to the duty roster,
but that given the task before them, he preferred to undertake small-scale local work unlikely to injure or delay them, and thus possibly cause them to miss the conference. He invited Wei Wuxian to accompany him on these, and Wei Wuxian was only too happy to. But though Lan Wangji devoted his days to Wei Wuxian quite blithely, it seemed he was too vital to the running of Gusulan to suddenly drop his administrative and teaching responsibilities for weeks on end without causing any disturbance. Cixin came to dinner again, and afterwards asked if Wangji intended on lecturing at all this month.
"I never thought I'd have to prize you out of the Jingxi like an oyster from its shell," he teased.
He gave Wei Wuxian an amused glance and ignored his younger brother's pursed lips.
"Shall I arrange for someone to take the coming week's classes?" "That won't be necessary," Lan Wangji said, though he darted a mulish glance at Wei Wuxian as he did so.
"You've been a good host, Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian said cheerfully. "But I really can manage a few days on my own. You know me. I'll find something to do."
He almost added, "I'm not going to disappear if you stop looking at me," but thanked his tactful Shijia's memory that he caught himself before he broached the topic between them, in front of Lan Cixin, too.
"Perhaps that is what worries me," Lan Wangji said with controlled lightness, and Wei Wuxian knocked his shoulder against Lan Wangji's in reproof.
As it turned out, Lan Wangji had a suggestion for what Wei Wuxian might do with the time. He had collected a startling amount of Wei Wuxian's notes from the burial mounds, which made him realize that Lan Wangji must have rushed there after the battle, perhaps to keep his working papers from falling into hands that would use his discoveries for harm. Fuck, Wei Wuxian hadn't thought of that. He'd been so consumed with panic he hadn't even read the note when Ting had left for him. He had hoped against hope to arrive in time to save her and the others. He hadn't, of course. Perhaps Lan Wangji had even suspected that somehow, after falling from the cliff in Nightless City, Wei Wuxian might have slunk back to his den like a dying animal. Neither of them spoke of any of this. Lan Wangji had sorted the notes, scraps of paper smeared with blood and dirt and cheap, thick dribbling ink, thematically with well-informed guesswork.
"Only collate this material if you wish to do so," he said, to make it clear that this was not an assignment or any form of payment for Wei Wuxian's lodging. "If it is painful, let it be."
It wasn't painful, no, not this aspect of the memories, at least. In organizing the notes, Wei Wuxian's first instinct was to lose himself in whatever interesting trains of thought he recalled as he came to them, to chase every rabbit he spotted like a poorly trained falcon. But he understood the respect Lan Wangji had shown him in preserving these papers as though they were worth conservation, rather than outright destruction, and letting Wei Wuxian himself decide how his work would be presented. So Wei Wuxian drew up a plan and refined the organizational structure Lan Wangji had laid the foundations of, and used his most careful calligraphy in a fresh codex to properly set out the material. It was a little too peaceful in the Jingxi without the subtle indications of Lan Wangji sharing the rooms, his breath, the sounds of his robe shifting as he moved. But soon enough, Wei Wuxian lost himself in the task, and he spent the better part of the day pleasantly absorbed. He stretched his legs in the afternoon, unless Cloud Recess's schedule had changed in the last decades, and he found that highly unlikely, even given the Jade's many reforms. Lan Wangji must have finished his first lecture, which probably meant he was now walking home for lunch. Idly, Wei Wuxian paced the small house. Small for someone of Lan Wangji's standing, at least. Though, actually, he supposed it was larger than Lan Cixin's partitioned long room hanshi, as though it had been designed for someone who had spent more time here than average, given the communal living arrangements of Cloud Recesses. Perhaps it had been adapted for someone in long-term cultivational seclusion? It had certainly survived the fire that had destroyed so much of the multi-courted, central Sahayuan complex, probably by virtue of being so out of the way. Wei Wuxian passed a guest bedroom they weren't using at the present. It was more convenient to occupy the second bed that had been set up in Lan Wangji's own combined, partitioned bedroom and study. It was unlikely that the man who'd come for them in Yi City would dare appear here, but Lan Wangji had thought it wise to sleep in sight of one another in case he did. Lan Wangji had told Sishui to fetch something from your room on one of his visits, so Wei Wuxian presumed this second bedroom had been added for, or given over to Sishui's use when the child had grown a little too old to share his father's bedroom, yet still remained too young for the dormitories. Sishui's bedroom looked of somewhat more recent construction than the long room. It dipped out to form a wing, which helped enclose the garden court. This court made the house a miniature Seheyuan, a hollow-centered square. You could walk around the whole of it in a circuit. The rooms connected to one another via the partly covered exterior porch that opened out from the central long room. It was unusual for the key bedroom to have been built towards the front of such a house, but Wei Wuxian supposed it had something to do with the way the structure seemed to have been amended over time for various purposes. Wei Wuxian walked the veranda, thinking of the house like art and like a puzzle. First the long room, then Sishui's, then a tile-floored workroom, which held Lan Wangji's personally fitted equipment for more specialized hunts. Wei Wuxian ducked into this to fiddle with Lan Wangji's bow. He wondered whether they might go shooting. He was ridiculously out of practice. Did Jiang Cheng still have Wei Wuxian's own bow? It had been one of his father Wei Chengzi's before it had been his. A fine weapon, and one of the very few of his parents' belongings he'd possessed. Had his former Shidi snapped the poor thing in spite? Used it for tinder? Wei Wuxian hoped he'd given it to some disciple at least. The bow that had given Wei Wuxian and Jiang victory in the intersect competitions of their youth had been too good a servant to be punished for its master's misdeeds. The workroom also held shelves of papers that Lan Wangji didn't immediately require at his strictly Spartan desk. There were materials for bookbinding and light equipment with which to tend the garden courtyard. Wei Wuxian smiled on finding a few carefully kept boxes of Sishui's old toys and clothes. Most of those would naturally have been given to younger children in need of them, but a few had been preserved. There was something achingly sweet in Lan Wangji's having neatly folded the gorgeous little ceremonial robe Sishui must have worn to his courtesy naming ceremony, and then tied the bundle with Sishui's unembroidered child's forehead ribbon, supplanted at that very ceremony with his embroidered and far longer inner clan adult version. Wei Wuxian slid the wooden box back on the shelf carefully when he'd finished looking through it. Next came a similarly tiled room with a copper bath and fixed ceramic matong. The whole of Cloud Recesses employed clever porcelain ducks to transport fresh spring water, heated and cooled with carved metal talisman sigils. Gusulan used tilts in the mountainous elevation, the abundant running water, and pottery pipes to handle drainage. No wonder Lan Wangji had been so abjectly horrified by far drier Tishan's wooden matongs, Wei Wuxian thought with a laugh. A tile-lined cabinet set into the wall at the back of the garden served as a larder, though the communal kitchens were where most food was prepared. Another door. What was this one? He'd not been in here yet. It ought to be an Arfeng, judging by its position in the right-hand corner of the house, to mirror the similar workshop's ear room. The last room in the circuit was a formal parlor he and Lan Wangji had thus far no occasion to use. Wei Wuxian supposed it must be for conducting the sort of meeting an inner clan member would want privacy for. Simply speaking, in the central reception area would grant a guest over-familiar access to your more personal living areas. The Arfeng, if that was what it was locked. Wei Wuxian left it alone, thinking little of it. Surely it was something commonplace. He didn't even drop the matter with a conscious respect for Lan Wangji's privacy. He couldn't imagine Ziji having any real secret from him. Besides, the truly strange thing about the house, lovely though it was that all the rooms were connected via an exterior rather than an interior courtyard porch. The latter would have been far more usual. It was as if someone living here had wanted to feel as though they could walk around in the open air rather than a cloister. The walls had old marks right up under the eaves. The surfaces had been painted, but just at the roofline, where a brush would have had trouble reaching, there were little brown stains, flecks of organic decay. You could tell that something living had once covered the whole house and had since been pulled down. Ivy, maybe? Like ink made from moss or insects, plants wrapped around a house would have had their own potential for magic. You could bind a building like this in vines as part of an array. The corners of the porch itself boasted very strong security, privacy, and noise cancellation runes, which Wei Wuxian supposed were probably mirrored on the accessible support beams below. The sigils formed an energy cage around the property.
At least they would have done if they'd been active, rather than having been carefully destroyed by a spiritual sword. Overkill, Wei Wuxian thought, examining them critically, his hands on his hips. If the sigils had been engaged, someone standing on the path leading to the Jingxia wouldn't even have been able to see anyone walking on the porch. The noise-cancellation runes alone had been left intact. They, too, were unnecessarily heavy-duty. Perhaps that was why the house was called Silence Room. The name was somewhat more severe than Cloud Recess's typical offerings. Calm pine breeze, flowing stream, or bright moon. The carvings looked as though they had been part of the beams when they'd been laid, which would probably make them older than he and Lan Wangji. Only the strike-throughs had the fresh wood discoloration of more recent change. These hatch marks were lighter than the inscriptions, but they too seemed years old, brindled rather than bright blonde, as from a fresh scratch. Wei Wuxian heard his personal name and glanced up with a grin.
Lan Chan, he answered, forsaker of my company for that of obedient, precocious Lan youths.
He straightened up and joined Lan Wangji.
I can't resent them for being good for you, though. I suspect I would have listened to you more than I did your uncle.
Uncle was not a bad teacher, Lan Wangji said with gentle firmness. It was an old argument.
For you, Wei Wuxian countered. But that's cheating. You were a perfect student. You would have learned from a mute stone. No practical exercise, no discussion, no sense of narrative in the lecture.
You learned well enough by rote. You listened to Uncle perfectly and still remember everything he ever taught you.
But it wasn't compelling, Wei Wuxian argued.
Did you come as a guest disciple to be entertained or to be taught?
Lan Wangji raised one eyebrow.
Foundations are vital. One must first learn to walk.
Huaisong would have done better with another lecture format,
Wei Wuxian said, shifting the grounds of an argument he felt he might be losing.
Huaisong would have done better if he'd cared to, Lan Wangji countered. Was it Uncle's responsibility to make him?
Yes,
Wei Wuxian said sullenly.
I have thought since, Lan Wangji said after a moment's pause, in which he observed the crane on the small pond that emerged from under the porch. In the wake of his elder brother's death, that Nie Huaisong had his reasons for not wishing to learn.
Wei Wuxian considered it. He asked himself whether Huaisong would have been able to know and name such a fear then, with all his brothers' and his sect's expectations on him. For most sects, cultivation promised the possibility of eternal life. Yet it had taken the Nie sect leader early and left a still young Mingjue in his role. Nie Mingjue might even then have been plagued by the qi instability that had eventually killed him. If Jing Guangyao had pushed Nie Mingjue over the edge, he must have been standing near it to begin with. This was the sort of thing a good teacher or a concerned adult ought to have seen and spoken to Huaisong about. His Lan Chan had become such a clear-sighted man in his maturity.
Yes,
Wei Wuxian said with a rueful look.
I think you must be right.
He shook his head, clearing it, and turned to take backward steps towards the interior of the Jingxia, facing Lan Wangji as he did so, with his hands still clasped behind his back. He towed off his house slippers just inside the partition.
Tell me more about your teaching. We talked about the curriculum, I know, but there's more to it than that. You must be wonderful, I think, he said with sincerity.
Lan Wangji had such a reputation for excellence in everything, and such presence, that Wei Wuxian supposed the little Lans must all fall to order at a glance from him. They must strain for his approval.
Nice to look at the very least,
Wei Wuxian added with a grin as he flopped down on the reed mat to blunt something he thought had landed a little too heavily. Wei Wuxian had thought to ask what the locked room was, but simply forgot. The next day he recalled the matter, but didn't care enough to say anything about it. Lan Wangji told him the juniors were playing at Kuju that evening at the Jucheng and wanted a scorekeeper. Call it training if you liked. Wei Wuxian knew a game when he saw it. The betrayal in Lan Xingyi's face when Senior Mo called a foul against him and his insistence that the mask was obstructing Senior Mo's vision were more immediately diverting than the layout of the Jingxia. Lan Xingyi was only willing to accept the ruling without grumbling when his beloved Hong Guanjun confirmed it. After the game, Wei Wuxian took it upon himself to show the juniors a theatrical fake pass that had him firmly back in Lan Xingyi's good books. It also earned him some new admirers among said youths, especially those amazed by his audacity in pestering Hong Guanjun to play with him. The third afternoon of Long Wangji's absence at lectures, Wei Wuxian tripped the lock of the strange room and slipped in before he'd realized he was going to do anything of the kind, like air pressure building up and spilling into a sudden spat of rain. Wei Wuxian had tried not to know that something was wrong with this house. This lovely safe haven, suffused with the presence of his own dear Zhixi. But he knew it all the same. He'd tried not to know many things about the families he'd drifted around the edges of, and slunk through in his life like a loping stray dog. It had never helped much. There was a part of Wei Wuxian that sensed mystery, that couldn't resist taking apart a problem laid before him. Often this had been the part of him that had kept him alive. Even as he forced the lock, not stopping to fully interrogate the righteousness of his own actions, Wei Wuxian suspected Lan Wangji of no part of the house's secrets. He didn't know what he'd find or how exactly he'd come to have a conclusion. He just knew something. Lan Wangji would not really mind such a minor thing as nosiness. There were so many old, now sedimented layers of concealment and trespass and forgiveness between them. What was a bit of rifling to that? The room opened to reveal very little, just a shelf of neat boxes like the ones in the workroom. None of them were labeled. Wei Wuxian set out to examine them methodically, starting with the topmost. In it, he found a very fine charcoal set, cakes of paint and a clever metal box, suited to travel, a bound brace of arrows fletched with bright red feathers, which, like the rare magical bird they'd come from, would be impervious to fire and rain. Were these the gifts from people Lan Wangji had helped, which Wei Wuxian had supposed might exist? Perhaps the room was simply locked because the things in it were valuable, but not immediately needed. Wei Wuxian continued to snoop through the first box. A worked black leather quiver for the arrows, with a raised abstract floral pattern. A crimson Jian tassel with carved dark wood counterweight. Another in the deepest blue with a lovely wushu knot. A carved spelled jade token, shaped like a lotus. The next box held seasonal clothing unsuited to the current weather. Thick winter robes, thin summer ones, a heavy cloak designed for the monsoon season, embroidered coin purses and Chiangkun bags. He supposed whoever had given Lan Wangji these wouldn't have purchased or made such presents specifically for Lan, but given Lan Wangji's not at all subtle preference for bone white and pale blues, it was odd how few things here agreed with his personal style. The robes were uniformly exquisite, well-suited to layering in Gusu's mountain climate, as the weather demanded, and in a myriad of deep, saturated colors. Wine red and chestnut brown, dove gray and pine green, peacock blue, navy. A black so rich it seemed to suck the light from the room. Oh, one white robe. But even that didn't seem Lan Wangji's style, exactly. Silk, with a raised pattern of embroidery that must have taken the seamstress an age. So covered with protection spells that even holding it made Wei Wuxian feel cozy, almost sleepy. The fluid lines seemed more jiang than anything else, but Wei Wuxian knew no deeply developed textile processing industry of this sort existed in Yunmeng as it did in Gusu. Yunmeng specialized in dyes, if anything. It wasn't the sort of thing you'd give as a gift in return for even a great favor. It was too complicated and costly. It was too specific. It was all wrong. A box of scrolls, unread light reading, cultivation treatises. It all looked good. A hole in an otherwise neatly filled box, like a parcel had been pulled out of it. Combs. An old, gorgeous silver guan in high lawn style. Which, it was the sort of thing Lan Wangji would have, Wei Wuxian knew. For if he married. For when he married. That was who it was for. Given how elaborate it was, it had probably been his father's or his mother's. Wei Wuxian put it down quickly, flinging the cloth the thing had been wrapped in over it again to hide it without thinking. He pressed on quickly. A carved jade bracelet, good talisman paper, perfume packets, paper lanterns, cakes of fine soap. A spelled dagger which would protect the wearer against Yao Guai. Unusual to give a dagger with its implied suggestion of cutting the relationship between the giver and recipient. It wouldn't make a good presentation gift, but you could exchange it more privately if the relationship between both parties was more well-developed than superstition could touch.
a collection of folk songs in Gongxie notation. Wei Wuxian began to sort faster and faster. He stopped putting things away properly when he was done. A little mutton-fat white jade paperweight, carved in the shape of a rabbit. Good paintings, amusing prints. A rainbow of fa dai, ranging from workaday to highly embroidered, with beaded and tasseled ends. A black coral rabbit-shaped robe closure and toggle. Non-reactive metal ingredient jars, which looked as though they'd be easy to label as tea canisters, in soft, bulbous shapes. Suitable for a cultivational laboratory, just the sort of thing he'd moaned about not having at the burial mounds. Incense sticks, wrapped so well he couldn't smell them. A fine white flute that looked as though it had been made by the artisans who crafted Liebing. A flute. Wei Wuxian skipped several boxes, pulling out the lowest three. Red robes. Not like the other set, which had obviously been intended for common wear. The embroidery was gold. They were so heavy with gold, they were stiff with it. There was more than one set. There was nothing feminine about any of it. He tore open the very first box. The things inside were cheaper, as though whoever had bought them had had less to spend or less opportunity to purchase outright treasures. As though this box was the eldest of the lot. A little hand-carved pendant, simple lacquered wood, careful familiar calligraphy, characters he knew well. Lan Ying. The strangled breath from the doorway told him he wasn't alone. Wei Wuxian turned his head. Lan Wangji stood leaning against the frame. His elegant fingers were fanned out against the dark wood and clutched it, white knuckle tight. It was dark out now. Winter was coming in and the days were growing short, and Wei Wuxian had lost track of time. Lan Wangji had come home, and he was so pale and his eyes so large. Wei Wuxian had last seen this expression on Lan Wangji's face while looking up at him like this, from halfway down a cliffside. Before his own eyes had flickered shut against the wind, before he'd lost consciousness, before he'd thus failed to feel the final awful crack of his spine. "I'm sorry," Wei Wuxian breathed. "Lan Chan, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have just barged in here and..." Lan Wangji looked ill, looked as though if he took a step he'd stagger, looked like venerable senior cultivators who'd seen too many awful things on night hunts did when they remembered the worst of them, or like the few survivors of the Jiang Purge had, some nights, after the war, when the adrenaline of the campaign had run out and memory had crept back in its place. Lan Wangji's chest rose and fell too quickly, like his heart was pounding. He never looked like this, not even in the fiercest fights.
"No," Lan Wangji said quietly. "It's..." He wet his lips, continued. "Nothing is ever secret from you. I apologize. We..." He breathed. "Have not yet had a chance to discuss this. Unprepared as you were, I'm sure it..."
Lan Wangji shut his eyes and stopped speaking. "Is this where the robes and teapots have been coming from?" Wei Wuxian asked, his voice soft. Lan Wangji responded faintly. "Chickens," Wei Wuxian said after a moment. "When you were drunk, you tried to give me a pair of chickens, and you weren't happy until I approved of them, until I told you they were good and fat." Lan Wangji's ears were so red.
"That sounds about right."
"Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian said, not knowing what to say. He thought it was a question. Lan Wangji knelt down on the mat just inside the door.
"You must see that these things are not being kept for when I marry, in some indefinite sense," Lan Wangji said, opening his eyes.
He sounded so ashamed, but as though he were being brave, trying to blazon through it.
"It is all for you, Wei Ying."
Yes, he supposed he'd known that. What he didn't understand was how someone, how Lan Chan...
"When did you find the time?"
Wei Wuxian asked, which was so stupid and such a random question, but he didn't know what to do with himself. He'd only been back for a few months. He'd spent only a handful of hours out of Lan Wangji's sight.
"Since we were children,"
Lan Wangji said after a moment.
"I have bought you things, presents. I did not stop when you were gone. In fact, I..."
He breathed.
"Got worse, if anything."
It was impossible to miss how his voice staggered over the euphemism for Wei Wuxian's death.
I did it,
Lan Wangji said, like this was discipline he was submitting to, like he was forcing himself to speak.
Whenever I saw something particularly well made, or well suited, or when I thought you'd have liked me to patronize some struggling shop, I always had more than I needed. You always seemed to have less. I always traveled. I always thought of you, and was lonely.
Outside, a frog in the pond sung out. Lan Wangji didn't look at him. He tucked his knees up under his chin, wrapping his arms around them.
I bought my favorite poets, and I put their works away unread. How could I bear to read love poetry if you were lost forever? I commissioned a white robe, a little like the one you wore when we first saw each other, because its memory was...
He swallowed.
Dear to me. You never wear white now, I know. But it becomes you. It makes you look...
Lan Wangji risked a glance at him, and his eyes widened as if with pain. Wei Wuxian was still holding the incriminating pendant, pinched between his thumb and index finger in a long, lax hand.
That pendant is one of the oldest. We were 17. I didn't assume even then that you would want to take it. But I wanted to give you my name, to use as you liked.
Lan Wangji buried his face in his large palm for a moment, then looked up.
I ought to have done something with all this, taken it away while you were recovering after Tefan. But I was so stupid with relief. I've been so stupid since, too drunk with you to think. I wanted to give such things to you.
Lan Wangji looked over at him, and Wei Wuxian realized he was panicking, because Wei Wuxian wasn't saying anything. It was so unlike him to say nothing. Wei Wuxian opened his mouth, but found he'd no words ready.
I am sorry you had to see this,
Lan Wangji said, taking refuge in formality, only to lose that borrowed calm in the next moment.
I am sorry I am like this.
He shut his eyes, abject.
It must have disconcerted you. I treasure our friendship exactly as it is. The point was never that the door would open. It is more than enough to have you in the world. I expect nothing, Wei Ying. I have never expected anything.
That cut so deeply that Wei Wuxian felt he couldn't breathe. It was so exactly true of himself. This discovery had outright shocked him, not because it was Lan Wangji, though if it had been anyone else, Wei Wuxian would have been able to take it less seriously and to brush it off, but because Wei Wuxian never thought he'd be this to anyone. He'd never envisioned his adulthood beyond the war and what he owed Jiang, and then the Wen remnants and justice itself. He'd thought of surviving and building a functioning community in the burial mounds, and had never asked himself, how would I like to live? He'd never done that, not even before he'd lost his core, when the possibilities for his life had theoretically been wide and developed in their scope. Did most people ask themselves such things? Had he been supposed to? Sick panic had welled in Wei Wuxian when he had thought, this Guan is for someone, Lan Wangji will give this to someone. And had he been naive to just assume Lan Wangji never would, to never think too deeply about it? Wei Wuxian had loved rearing Ayuan, but he'd never before seriously said, I'd like to marry, or I want to be a father. He'd not even been able to call himself Ayuan's father in his own mind.
Please,
Lan Wangji whispered. Wei Wuxian looked up and saw that Lan Wangji's eyes were rimmed with red.
Are you angry with me? Will you tell me? What can I do, Wei Ying?
Wei Wuxian let out a positively hurt noise. Lan Chan, he said, grabbing the hem of Lan Wangji's robe in his fingers, then releasing it in favor of taking Lan Wangji's hand in his own. No, Lan Chan, no one has ever cared about me like this. No one has ever thought to make me, specifically, so happy like this. Which didn't diminish Shuxia's love or her position as the light of Wei Wuxian's infancy. This was a different adult affection, central, binary, dedicated. The halter around the neck, willingly accepted. A life's work knowingly undertaken. I'm sorry, Wei Wuxian breathed, that I wasn't someone you could just give this to without circumspection. That I don't know how to take a compliment. It's ugly in me. I'm sorry you were lonely. he said, realizing his chest was shaking with tears. I'm so sorry I left you. I'm sorry you find me so ill-prepared. For life and adulthood. For making anything of his own potential. For knowing what to do with Lan Chan loving him. It was like being told you could breathe diamonds. Luxuriant and preposterous, and surely you couldn't. Not really. What did you do with a river of honey? How did you live in a palace made entirely of jade? Could such things be real? Had he lived to see wonders?
Wei Ying,
Lan Wangji said, consolation in the sound.
But I don't have anything for you.
Wei Wuxian laughed into a hiccuping sob.
I never thought to be ready for this.
Lan Wangji grasped Wei Wuxian's hand tighter in his own. It was like the cliff in Nightless City. It was like coming back to him at Defan. Wei Wuxian looked up at him and their gazes held.
You gave me paintings and promises,
Lan Wangji said. His voice wavered, but it was so full of conviction.
You showed me your virtues, and thus gave me the parts of myself I most honor. What righteousness I have earned. My feelings towards you.
Lan Wangji gave a hitched breath, but forced himself to continue.
You saw that I was full of love and had nowhere to put it. And so you gave me wild rabbits, free, hardy things that nonetheless could appreciate my shelter and care when storms came. Who else has ever seen I could need something to cherish, that I did not always like to be alone?
Lan Wangji raised his free hand to wipe the tears off Wei Wuxian's face.
Please don't cry, he murmured. You gave me your Ayuan, who is my Sishui, and who has been the purpose of my life these last years.
Wei Wuxian felt himself crack open with shock and recognition. He threw himself at Lan Wangji, clutching him so tightly he thought Lan Wangji's ribs might break.
Forgive me, Lan Wangji said. I did not know how to tell you that, without this piece of it. I might simply have saved him, but instead I raised him as my own. In part, that was because I wished to be sure he was loved, as you and I had not always been. But Wei Ying, I raised him because I wanted to have our child. I know how that must seem, how presumptuous it was. You never consented to such a thing. I have tried to tell you, but in my joy at your return I have been a coward. I have always been so afraid that you, who saw me best, might one day see all of me and despise me.
But you were giving me this,
Wei Wuxian said into Lan Wangji's shoulder, laughing with sublime relief that some piece of his makeshift family had survived, an unalloyed delight that Lan Wangji should have given his great heart to the boy as he had done, should have given him a life so safe and upright and good. He had made Ayuan what Wei Wuxian had never felt able to make him, Wei Wuxian's son, what he never dreamed of being able to make him, theirs. Wei Wuxian looked down at the mess of treasures, the pools of fine cloth at his feet, and saw a puzzle he'd never allowed himself to solve spinning out around him. Lan Wangji's obsessive, impossible love that asked everything of them both and gave everything in return. No one deserved to be loved like Lan Wangji deserved it. They were so well matched because this was the sort of love Wei Wuxian himself had yielded to the other core relationships and obligations in his life. Here answered with reciprocation and reward. He thought of their years together and of these last gentle days. Lan Wangji called out all of Wei Wuxian's attention and care, admiration and pride, protection and curiosity, affection and want. So easily, he had only to breathe. Wei Wuxian asked himself how he should like to live, and it was with Lan Wangji forever like this.
Do you know I've loved you beyond all things, all this time?
Wei Wuxian asked, breathing it into Lan Wangji's mouth. Because what if Lan Wangji didn't? What if he didn't see that?
Sometimes I did,
Lan Wangji told him, pressing his cheek against Wei Wuxian's.
Sometimes I knew.
Even before Wei Wuxian had. And why not? It had been woven into Wei Wuxian's every word and movement. But sometimes Lan Wangji had not known, and that was not acceptable at all.
I want what you are, in its fullness. That is what I need. I would give you years to replace the lost ones. I will give you all my life, Wei Wuxian offered, if you'll give me my wedding robe.
Lan Wangji took the folded stack of cloth in his hand without releasing Wei Wuxian. He set what must have been his own bridal robe to the side and offered Wei Wuxian the other.
"Here it is, Wei Ying,"
he said, his voice so sweet it made Wei Wuxian ache.
"It has always been yours."
Wei Wuxian took it with a smile and gave Lan Wangji a kiss in earnest of his body, heart, mind, life, everything he could find in himself to offer up.
"Present every one of these gifts to me properly," Wei Wuxian suggested. "Don't hide what they are. I can take it. Dote like you want to. Claim every inch of gratitude you deserve. Ah, Lan Chan, do you want to do it all at once or dole it out slowly?"
The soft kiss he pressed into Lan Wangji's neck was at odds with his teasing, suggestive tone. Wei Wuxian found himself unable to look directly at his lover now, when emotion surged so high in him, when everything was new. Lan Wangji shuddered at the affection as though he'd break. Each present would be met with due thanks. Wei Wuxian didn't know what to do with his body in this manner yet, but he'd learned less natural and less pleasant things to do with it. Both of them were good students and good teachers. Wei Wuxian assumed lovemaking would be another exchange of gifts, or another way to banter. A sweet touch, or a pleasantly stinging one that showed you were noticed, or cared for. A steady look for a shaking kiss. All the heady appreciation that characterized their friendship. More and more and more.
"All in the remaining weeks before the cultivation conference," Lan Wangji said decisively, raising his hands to cup Wei Wuxian's hips and give them a squeeze. He apparently felt he'd waited long enough. "I can always buy Wei Ying more presents."
The end.